Welcome to CCNA Discovery.
Ooh.
Lecture one. Never had to say that before. Today, we'll be talking about all sorts of things. One of them will be CCNA Discovery. Some of them will be the requirements for the labs for both CCNA and which we're still working out, and IT Essentials. And we'll also be talking about the sorts of things that you're going to learn this semester, or at least that we're going to try and teach you this semester. Whether you're going to learn them or not remains to be seen.
It's good morning for me too, guys.
Yes, Geraldine is sitting there just champing at the bit, or the microphone or something, as the case may be. Just out of curiosity, has everybody been enjoying ITE 1 and CCNA 1 so far? I will warn you, the answers may affect your future marks.
And silence is the stern reply.
Yeah, done all
yes, Kerry, yes, Kerry and Geraldine, we've enjoyed it. It's been cool.
That's 100% for you, Elise.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, that's better than... I think Sue failed me the other day because she wanted me to stick around.
Yeah, these things happen. Okay. Now, they've rejiggered all of the CCNA curriculum, as I like to look at it, and they've decided that the old CCNA curriculum is crusty and boring. I'd agree with that. But there it was. I'd also agree with the fact that Chris will get what's coming to him after lecture. But essentially what happens is, with the old curriculum, you are required to learn a lot of binary. Anybody struggle with binary a bit there?
Yep,
and the hexadecimal and all that sort of stuff. Okay, so CCNA Discovery 1, they've basically got two versions of the CCNA curriculum now. You've got CCNA Discovery, which is the, look, Mum, I just got a home router and I want to play games on my Xbox version. And then you've got CCNA Exploration, which is, look, Mum, I just subnetted my network, but I've managed to lock myself out of my six VLANs. But essentially you're looking at the TAFE version, Technical College of Advanced and Further Education, if you're not Australian. Technical and Further Education, I think it stands for. And then there's the university version, which are for the boffins and the eggheads and things. Well, we're doing the TAFE version because it's more practical and it's more hands-on. And basically they have a few labs that go, look, Mum, I've got a router and I want to play games on my Xbox. Well, you don't actually get to play games on the Xbox, but you do get to set up a home internet router. So this course is geared towards home and small business. So the sort of things that you're likely to find in an office, computer-wise. Small routers, network address translating devices, wireless routers, computers, network interface cards, all that sort of thing. Okay, but you're probably asking yourselves, what is this evil person going to make us go all the way back and do Discovery 1 again? We only just finished CCNA 1. No. What we're going to do is we're going to give you the modules that differ between CCNA 1 and Discovery 1. And then we're going to bridge you all across into Discovery 2.
Cool.
Okay. There is a test version of the Discovery curriculum up on the QCAT website. This is the Discovery 1 curriculum, because I haven't put the other ones up yet. And I will key the URL into chat, so you demons with your cutting and pasting will be able to... Actually, we should... Are we in the lecture theatre? We're still in the lobby. Is anybody in there?
We've got to move. No, no one's in there. We're all in the lobby.
Let's not bother then. We'll just sit in the lobby. No, it'll be fine.
It's sunny out in the lobby.
They'll just land on the thing and it'll start talking at them and they'll be happy. Or sad. We'll just stay here, I think. Okay. And if you haven't... I'm going to type the URL into chat, but it's www.qcat.org. If you don't know how to spell QCAT by now, you fail. /class_notes/discovery. I'll see how many people can get into that, and I'll just key that in.
And we're there.
Now, I'm going to have to say this 300 billion times before the course is done. Once you click on the display accessible version, you have to wait for the course to load. Wait, 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 because it loads the course down in one big bog lot. So be aware that if you do view the whole thing as one big sort of presentation, it's going to take time for all of the flash to come down. And if you're one of these people who just can't be, you know, has to know what's going on, you can use your virtual cursor to review the screen and hit insert escape every now and again to tell how many objects have actually loaded.
So can I download this thing to our local systems and have it local or not?
No, only the instructors are allowed that sort of access to curriculum.
Fair enough.
We could give it to you all, and then Cisco Learning Institute would have my job, so we won't. You can get the curriculum from two places. You can get it from cisco.netacad.net, or you can get the curriculum from the QCAT website. That said, if you are a good network administrator and are running a proxy server, most of the curriculum should come out of the proxy server. And can everybody give me the name of a proxy server that runs under Linux? Anybody got any ideas? I've got two local answers. Okay, Squid is a proxy server that runs under Linux. And the log analyzer is called Calamari, ironically enough.
Crazy.
Okay. Now, what I want to talk about a couple of general things today. Discovery 1 and 2. Well, Discovery 2 has lots and lots and lots of labs in it. Lots and lots and lots. Which means that we're going to be doing lots of different labs. And we're going to provide you with access to a remote bundle environment, which is an environment where you can actually log in and telnet in and reconfigure things from your comfortable home, wherever it happens to be. And you can do the labs. And we have a thing called Eagle Server, which we will be running, which simulates the internet cloud. In other words, you have a web server and a DNS server and a few other things that all link in with the labs. So you actually do the labs on that remote equipment, and the results are sent back to your computer. Now, very important thing to keep in mind, all students need to download and install and configure TerraTerm. It is a prerequisite for this course that you must have TerraTerm up and working. Yes, there are documents on the website that tell you how to do that, but you do need to get the TerraTerm out of the extras folder, and you probably want to be running JAWS with TerraTerm, otherwise it's not going to talk as new stuff comes on the screen. If you're game enough to get it running under WindowEyes, well and good. And if you're game enough to get it running under WindowEyes 7, it's all and good. If you happen to own a copy of Van Dyke's Secure CRT and you decide you want to run yours in SAIL mode, that's fine as well. However, JAWS and the TerraTerm with the JAWS script work extremely well. However, it is absolutely imperative that you follow the instructions in the termnotes.txt file, because it tells you that you have to change your cursor shape and a few other things to make JAWS talk properly with TerraTerm. Some of you already have TerraTerm configured. That's
Indeed,
good.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't, not so good. We hope to have most people with TerraTerm set up and configured by next week. That would be really good. Otherwise, the week after. Okay, now we have good news and bad news regarding the Discovery curriculum. The good news is that in Discovery 1, which you're not doing, the diagram descriptions are embedded. The bad news, in Discovery 2, 3 and 4, which you'll eventually be doing, the diagram descriptions are separate. So it will be the same old Alt-Tab thing until Cisco upgrade the curriculum to embed the diagram descriptions, which they will soon. And let us assure you that when that happens, the new curriculum will go up on the website with the diagram descriptions embedded. Okay, so essentially this course is going to teach you how to do home routers. It's going to teach you how to, you know, set IP addresses on machines and check IP addresses on machines and tell you about, you know, a bit more practical ways of how to set up sort of the home networking infrastructure. And then you're going to do labs that sort of go into the more esoteric stuff, you know, accessing websites and stuff. Also, how to troubleshoot web server and connectivity issues and that sort of thing. So that's what we're looking forward to. Now, of more interest to a lot of people, IT2, which I'll also talk about today because I've got the time, we are going to be using VMware. Now, if you're lucky enough to have a copy of VMware Workstation, feel free to use it. If you are not lucky enough to have a copy of VMware Workstation, download and install VMware Server. Now, as I have announced on the mailing lists and I will announce in the lecture, if you want a DVD of virtual machines and you do not come from India or Egypt, it will cost you $15. Otherwise, you can download the virtual machines off the website for free. So we need to know how many people want the DVD and how many people want to download the virtual machine images, the Fedora Core machine and the Windows XP Pro virtual image that you will also need. The Windows XP Pro CD image is 1.5 gig in 100 meg chunks, and the Fedora Core machine is about 150-200 meg. So it's up to you which ones you want to download. And if you'd rather have a DVD posted to you, then we'll get you to make a donation to the Cavi project of approximately $15 and we'll post you a DVD. However, if you live in India or Egypt, you are exempt from paying because you probably don't have that much money to be spending on a DVD, so we'll send you one. Any questions on that?
Well, we might need 7-Zip to undo the... you're talking about those 7-Zip archives, aren't you? We'll need to install that one, then, Kerry.
You will indeed. In fact, there is a text file, or an HTML file, in fact, called... Who's just showed up? Oh, hello. My wife just showed up.
Good afternoon, Gemma.
Okay. 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 So what there is a file on the website called VMware_instructions.txt. All students are going to have to read that file multiple times because it tells you exactly what to do. If you ring me up asking me how do I unzip these virtual machines, I'm just going to refer you back to the text file. So if there's something you don't understand in the text file, no problem. I will explain that to you. But if you haven't read VMware instructions.html, we're not going to be able to help you because you won't have had 7-Zip installed and you won't have downloaded all of the parts to the virtual machine. Okay, to run virtual machines, you need a minimum of a 1.2 GHz processor and at least 512 MB RAM. If you have less than 512 MB RAM, you're going to have incredible difficulties passing this portion of the course because I really don't think your virtual machines are going to run. You probably want at least a gig of RAM in the machines if you've got it, but 512 will be sufficient. You need enough memory for the what we call the host operating system, which is the operating system that is running the VMware program, and you need enough RAM for the guest operating system. So, for example, on our Linux virtual machines, you are looking at 256 megs for the host operating system, i.e. Windows XP, and another 128 meg of RAM to run Linux, which means a total of 384 meg RAM required to run the virtual Linux box. If you are running, some of the labs do require you to have both the Windows 2000 machine and the Linux machine powered up at the same time. This could be a challenge for some people. You can actually have one powered up and use your Windows XP Pro machine to access the machine and then shut it down and power the other one up if you are short on memory. If you have a gig of RAM, however, you will be able to power both of them up. So it's something to be aware of. Does everybody know? Yes?
You mentioned Windows 2000. Do we need a Windows 2000 machine? I've only got a XP and a Linux at the moment. I think I've got the 2000 archives here. I can dick around through some DVDs I got from W and check.
There were labs that require...
2000, yeah.
Okay, I'll put that on.
Yeah.
Cool, thank you. Doesn't matter, if I need it, I'll do it. It's fine.
Yeah, I would. There are a few labs on it.
Oh, it'd be nice to have a look at good old 2K again.
I have to go grab some stuff, guys, so I'll be back later, maybe.
Yeah, if you don't come back, that's all right. But see you later if you come back.
Yeah, see you later.
Oh, righty. All right. Now, the other thing you've got to be aware of is that there are tutorials on how to use the virtual machine. They're all up on the website, and they're pretty boring. But they're there, and they tell you how to install this stuff and get it running. So you can either listen to the tutorials and follow them, or you can listen to me, and I'll be just as boring, so I'd recommend the tutorials, okay? When you... my train of thought's just derailed itself. That's all right. Okay. So, the other thing you've got to keep in mind also, you've got to keep lots of things in mind this semester, is that username and password for the virtual machines area. The username is VMware, and the password is images. The username is VMware, and the password is images. Gemma will be testing that as soon as she has her Alto set up. Does anybody have any questions so far? Probably there isn't too much to ask questions about yet. VMware Server is available from our FTP, our website, under the extras. Oh no, it's under the VMS section, and you can download VMware Server from there. You can also download the registration keys. Therefore, you do not have to find, download, and install those components off the VMware website. So you've actually got it slightly easier than last year's course. Now, is anyone here not doing ITE2 eventually? I'll take that incredible silence that everybody's doing ITE2. Okay. So that shouldn't pose a problem. I will warn you, however, that as part of Discovery 2 and ITE2, there is a practical test for both subjects. That means you have to do stuff. Last year I wrote the practical test. And if we end up using that one again, it's... you can certainly enjoy the singing. It actually had you setting up a mail server, an IMAP server, a Samba server, and I think a name server.
Yes, the difference hearing was, about that.
Yeah, well, we did give you a week to do it. Like, we give you the stuff in, like, a week to get it all working. And some people complained a bit about it. But it did. There were people who did actually succeed in completing those steps and getting all of it working.
I think I know what went wrong.
Okay. No buying him lots of pizzas to get his answers, because he didn't get it all correct.
No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'll do it as per the course.
Okay, so in this semester with ITE2, we are going to be playing with Windows 2000, and we are going to be playing with Linux. Does anyone not know what Linux is? It's not a fish, I'll give you that much of a hint. Okay, so who can tell me what Linux is in brief terms?
It is a network operating system that is open source and is very good, and can also be used on as a desktop environment if you want to run X Windows.
That was pretty short, actually.
Will it do?
Yeah, Glenn wanted it to be shorter.
And it's a lot more stable.
Well, yeah, it tends to be. Yeah, Linux is an open source operating system. And what does open source mean? It's not where you get the lid off the bottle and tip it over your chips.
It's free. Well, more accurately, depending on if you want the long version of the answer, is that the source code for much of it and the programs is open for anyone to modify and change and redistribute.
Able to distribute under a variety of extremely complex and legally mind-bending licenses, not to mention the three different revisions of the GNU public license, a couple of the artistic public licenses, the BSD license, the Netscape license, the Sun public license, and the I have no licenses to write licenses. You have to be aware of the licensing restrictions of your software. Has anybody ever read the Windows XP end user license agreement, the EULA. Yeah, they own you. That's right, they do. In fact, one of the things that people don't realise about Windows is that Windows is licensed, not sold. And they own you. If they find that you've got pirated music on your computer, they can stop your computer from playing any music ever again under their operating system. That's what the license says. Did everybody know that?
Not until you mentioned it, I think, in Chapter 9 of ITE 1 last semester.
Oh, I did indeed. And there's some quite nasty legally binding things.
Scary. I'd like to know how they would do it, but they obviously can come on through some of their open ports and stuff.
This is an interesting point. Windows, since version 3.1, has had a series of hooks into the operating system which were codenamed the Hermes hooks. I don't know why they were codenamed the Hermes hooks, that's what they were called. And it allows all sorts of remote access to the registry and the operating system and files on the drives that you don't even know about.
Scary.
I've just been asked whether if you've got a pirated copy of Windows and the license is therefore null and void, do they still own you? Probably once they arrest you, they will.
Lock you up.
Yeah, for having said pirated copies of Windows and there are no donuts in jail. Okay, so that's something to be aware of. Open source means that the source is open and it's viewable and it's modifiable and there are all sorts of licenses and you've got to watch out which license things are under. However, our Linux stuff is, to the best of our knowledge, free and you won't get into trouble for copying it and giving it to your friends. And you are allowed to sell it. However, you do have to provide people a link to the original source code as part of the licensing agreement, and if they find that you sold it to them and they can get it cheaper somewhere else, they may come over to your place and discuss this difference with you. Okay, now, has anybody tried accessing the Discovery curriculum remotely yet?
The one in the QCAT?
Yeah, the one in the QCAT.
I've got it here in front of me now. I think I'll click on this Use Accessible link here at the top and find out what happens.
Yes, and for those who haven't accessed it, www.qcat.org/class_notes/discovery. Underline. Shifting that thing next to the zeros. Shift. There. Underline. Underscore. Underbar. Wunderbar.
Bah.
And next week, ITE2 will be given to you by a sheep.
Bah.
And did it work?
Launch button on this. Did you want me to launch it or worry about it off lecture?
No, launch it. It won't kill anything, we hope.
It's running now. Let's find out what happens.
Okay, well, this is just a message for you, and because I think you actually run a whole pile of this stuff and above. This course is significantly different in its layout, so you are going to have quite a number of unhappy students initially, but they will get used to it, and really, truly, really, I promise, it's actually easier to access than the last one, the last CCNA at least, anyway. So just be aware that the layout is completely different, and you have to sort of click on things to go view transcript. If you do not have Flash installed, and this goes for everyone, if you do not have Flash installed, you're going to have a very bad time of it. All the menus are driven by Flash.
Yeah, it's very accessible too. I'm just looking through the index. I'll just take a random one, like 4, connecting to the internet through an ISP and see what it does.
Okay, now next week, once I have the web server hammered into shape, because Gemma and I will be working on it this afternoon, you will be able to get at Discovery 2, and that will be the course that you'll actually be looking at. We will be studying a series of chapters from Discovery 1, and I will post a list of those to the mailing list after lecture in case you want to read up on those sections before we talk about them next week. But it's different, but it is actually quite nice, the curriculum. And that is the one with the embedded diagram descriptions, which is kind of cool. Alrighty. That's all of the official stuff I had to tell you guys today. Because the rest of it involves getting all of the curriculum accessible to you guys. And we've got to do that before you can start reading it. So we were going to consider the idea of having semi-compulsory Thursday chats. And I don't know whether we want those in the afternoon or not. I'll post a question to the mailing list to ask. semi-compulsory as you really should be there, and if you don't turn up and you fail, I'm going to laugh in your face sort of semi-compulsory. That's another idea. But no, seriously, when we say semi-compulsory, we seriously mean that it would probably be a really good idea for you to show up, and we're going to tell you things that you want to know, and if you don't show up, then everybody else will sort of go, we all heard that at the semi-compulsory Thursday chat, so that's sort of what we're thinking of doing, because we do envisage a lot of people having trouble with the virtual machines initially. It's a fairly interesting concept to get your head around. Alrighty, well, I'm going to work on getting the rest of the web server up and running and the rest of the discovery curriculums in place. I don't have any lecture prepared because I only just got the discovery curriculum off the thumb drive this morning and it's all working. Does anybody have any questions before we evaporate onto Skype?
Yes, the ITE curriculum, I haven't got up there yet, but you did say that was available for looking at or downloading or something on Wednesday, did you not?
The ITE2 curriculum has been fixed, and it works.
So is it a downloadable or a look-at-online type entity?
unless otherwise noted, everything from Cisco is look-at-it-online. They do not want you downloading this stuff and carrying it away with you. In fact, we violated every copyright they had giving you the text files last semester. We'd rather not do that again if we could help it.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst you can obtain sources of Cisco material from various other sources on the internet, the Cisco Learning Institute does not encourage or condone that sort of behaviour. So, yeah, it's a look-at-it-online job, unfortunately.
And the labs and worksheets, are they downloadable, though? Because I might just get up and clean it out like I did when I started IT1, got all the worksheets and stuff down and copied that part of the tree to my own system.
They are certainly downloadable, and you can grab the labs and the worksheets down. Keep in mind, however, that if we make modifications to the labs and worksheets as we go along, you'll have to remain aware of those modifications, and that could especially be the case with Discovery. It won't be so bad with ITE, but most of the labs and worksheets are available. The other thing you can also get is there is a student lab manual for both Discovery and ITE2, and I'd strongly recommend getting hold of the student lab manual off cisco.netacad.net. It is a PDF document, although I did get a thing the other day called Nuance PDF Converter 5, which I actually paid money for, and it was really good. So I could probably give people a Word document conversion out of that, or you can save it out with Adobe Acrobat at the expense of the tables.
Yes. Oh, does Nuance actually create the tables, does it?
It does indeed.
Okay, I might get that down at some point.
It cost me $50 Australian, I think, to buy it, but it's really good. You just right-click and go convert to Word document or convert to spreadsheet or convert to PowerPoint, and off it goes.
Cool. I've been using the one under Linux, but I don't think it'll handle tables.
No, a lot of the things like PDF to TXT and XPDF will flatten out a PDF into something that is not pretty. It's quite readable, but it's not pretty, and the formatting goes west. Even further west than Western Australia, in fact.
It is handy, though, if you want to actually reformat it and manually put it into a website or something, which is what I did one for the other day. I thought, oh, good, just simply raw text, it's all in order. So I thought, you beauty.
Absolutely, and that is certainly an advantage. Alrighty, so that's all we have officially today as far as the virtual machines and stuff are concerned, because we don't have a lot of the other students on to be able to walk them through running the virtual machines. It'd be better if they listened to the tutorials up on the website and... Okay, no problem. So we will get back to that next week once everybody's listened to the tutorials and they have questions. We are going to put up the rest of the Discovery curriculums this afternoon, very soon, and they're going to have the same passwords on them as they did last term. So anybody who knew the password last term will know it this term.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody has any questions that they'd like to ask us specifically, catch us on Skype.
Yeah, okay, bye everyone.
Okay, thanks everyone.